What we celebrate at this time is the birth of Jesus, which is an incredibly wonderful thing. It is the most wonderful thing. And it's more wonderful than the M&S version of Christmas with all the tinsel and the glitter and the glamour. And yeah, the commercials confirm it's the most wonderful time of the year, but it's much more wonderful than just the time. It's the most wonderful story of all. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest song ever sung. But you'll never fully understand how wonderful it is until you see the why behind it. Because you and I won't live in the wonder of who we are unless we discover the why behind our existence. We've celebrated, what was it, three or four birthdays this morning. I think it was three. Denise, Doreen, and Jackie's birthday. Do you know that actually every single one of our birthdays represented here this morning ties back to the birth date of Jesus? The year Anno Domini. I'm 20th of the 12th, Friday. 61, giving away my age. And that 1961 is AD, and that's a Latin term for the year of our Lord. Every birth date, every human being that is born on planet Earth is related back to this king's birth date. But more than that, the reason why you are here, the reason why every human being is alive, is given meaning by the birth of this child. If you don't understand why you're here, you won't know the way forward in terms of destiny. If you don't understand why you're here, you won't know the motivation to live out the full potential that is in your life. It is the why that determines the way. It's the why that determines the wow. It's the why that determines who we are, why we are here, where we are going. And the clue of why he came is in his name. So children, what was his name? Oh, come on, you can do better. What was his name?
Jesus.
And what does his name mean? Jacob, what does Jesus mean? Can you remember what his name means? Not quite, but he is the life. His name means Savior, and it actually means God rescues. And that term is a shortened version of what Christmas is all about. God rescues. Jesus came to rescue us. Now, there's some unusual characters in this Bible story. They came on probably camels. They came a long way, 1,000+ miles from what is modern-day Iran to Jerusalem. They were astrologers. They weren't kings, actually. And there weren't necessarily three of them. We think there were three because of there were three types of gifts they gave, which I'll come on to now. But they were astrologers. They were stargazers. They were kind of probably priests in their culture. And they saw this star in the sky, and they went on a journey because they were pursuing something. They were searching for something, meaning, purpose, the why behind things are. And the star took them to Jerusalem, and they had an appointment with a king, a puppet king, I would call him, puppets. He was a Roman puppet king called Herod. He wasn't a very nice man. When he heard that they'd come to find a king, he got very threatened and upset, and secretly said to them, well, he kind of deceived them into saying, when you find the king, come and tell me about him so I can go and worship him too. Really, but what he wanted to do was get rid of this king. And then he said, where's he going to be born? And there were some experts of the law who were in his court in Jerusalem. They said, in Bethlehem. So they went to Bethlehem. And they presented to this king three gifts. Now, children, can you remember what those three gifts were? One was myrrh. One was? Well done, frankincense. And the other, third one was? That was kind of in reverse order, wasn't it? Yeah. And these three gifts speak about this meaning of Christmas that God rescues. The gold speaks about what he rescues us from. The frankincense speaks about what he rescues us for. And the myrrh speaks of what he rescues us by. And I just want to unpack that for a couple of minutes. The gold speaks about what he rescues us from. I mentioned that when these wise men arrived in Jerusalem, Herod asked, "Where's this king going to be born?" And they referenced a prophecy that had been said about 600 years ago. Remember in that the story that we just heard just now, that he came to fulfill prophecy 600 years before Jesus came. And this was the prophecy by the prophet Micah. He says, "Bethlehem, you are one of the smallest towns in the nation of Judah, yet out of you a ruler of Israel will come, whose goings forth are from everlasting to everlasting." This is an unusual kind of person. "He will stand and shepherd his flock." This is speaking of Jesus. "In the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And then his people will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace." Wow, what a description that is. That is actually a description of a leader who is coming, who's going to be the perfect leader. A shepherd king. Never been anybody quite like this, because actually it's a description of God himself. It uses terms like he'll provide like a shepherd, he'll protect his people, like his rule will stretch out to the ends of the earth. He'll bring strength and majesty of the Lord. And so the description here is for a king who actually can only fit God himself. And this is the Jesus, the baby that was born in Bethlehem. It is God himself who came, God the Son who came. And I want you to note the three things that he brings: strength, security, and peace. Those are three things that every human being is looking for. Strength, security, and peace. And Jesus came, dear friends, to bring that to every human life. We had an election. Did we have an election? We had an election on Thursday. Thursday, thank you. And Thursday night, Lynn said, "Oh," Lynn went off, and my wife Lynn went off and had a bath, and she said, "Oh, why don't you watch a bit of TV and see what's on?" So I switched it on, and it was question time. And so the election result happened, of course. And already, so people were giving various perspectives and questions about the various party leaders. And guess what? None of them could come to any agreement about how good any of the party leaders were. And that's the story of our world, dear friends, that there is no perfect leader. We've all got imperfection. Nobody's perfect except one. Because Jesus didn't stay as a baby in a manger. He grew up. And wherever he went, he brought security, strength, compassion, freedom, life, love, wholeness, wherever he went. People couldn't find fault with him in word or in deed. And eventually they came up with some trumped up charges. But also they said the primary thing that they nailed him to a cross for was because he said that he was God. He forgave sins. But he lived a perfect life. And you think, well, everybody would receive him well. I mean, who doesn't want to have strength and security and peace? But it wasn't so. Amazing story. When this king went into a region, and there were two men who lived in a place called Gadara, and they were men in a lot of difficulty, a lot of trouble. They were tormented by evil spirits. They tormented people around them. They were troublemakers. They were just people that caused trouble in the town everywhere. But Jesus came into their lives and he healed them. He brought sanity. He brought strength. He brought security. He brought peace. But the amazing thing is, when that happened, you think that everybody in the region would be rejoicing. Wow, we've got peace and security now. These guys have been healed. They've been made well. But actually, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 8 that the whole town went out to Jesus and they said, Jesus, please leave. Push off. And actually, we do the same thing. It may sound strange, it actually is strange, but something inside each of us wants to hold this ruler at arm's length. We'll face the storms ourselves. We'll fight our fears on our own. We'll build a society that overcomes evil without him. We'll walk into the face of death even without him. I'll be the captain of my own life. I'll govern my own destiny. Thank you very much. Even though he's God and he actually made me, I know better than him how to pull off my own life. The only problem with that is it doesn't work. You and I can't calm storms or live without fears, and we certainly can't plot a way through death. The amazing news of this king who has come, this blameless king that we heard about on the video clip, is that he has come to actually deal with the attitude that lies behind that decision to rule our own lives. Because I know in my own life, I said that to Jesus. For many, many years, I can rule my own life. But there came a point when I realized, actually, there are certain things in my own life that I cannot manage on my own. There are problems that I cannot overcome on my own. And there's an issue in my life of wanting to do things my own way, and the Bible calls it sin. And wasn't it interesting, this wonderful puppet play this morning? It's about the cross. It's about my sin. You think, oh, that's a bit of a miserable topic to talk about at Christmas. No, actually, you'll only know the why and the wonder of Christmas when you know why he came. And he came to deal with this issue of my pride, my sin. I'm an eye specialist. Eye specialist. And we're all eye specialists. We all want it my way. The most popular song of the 20th century that sold more singles than any other record was Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. Adam could have sung that as he walked out of the garden in the beginning, I did it my way. And because Adam did it his way, the whole human race is born in sin and wants to do it my way. It's a problem of our world, self-centeredness. It's the problem in marriages that break down. It's the problem in families that break down. It's the problem between nations that fight. We want it done my way. My way or the highway. That was Herod's issue. I want it to do it my way, not Jesus' way. So that's the gold. What about the frankincense? What does that speak of? What a funny gift. Frankincense is a strong perfume. I'm sure there's going to be lots of smelly gifts given at Christmas time this year. Yeah, smellies are quite popular, particularly for the ladies. You know, but why would you give a smelly gift to a baby boy? You know, I know that he was lying in a manger and there was lots of other smells in that stable, but that wasn't the reason that they brought this frankincense. See, there's a bigger picture here. And the picture is this: in the Old Testament, God has set something in motion to meet with his people in a tabernacle and a temple thereafter. And he said, I want you to burn incense as a to symbolize worship to me from you 24/7. The chief priest had to burn it all the time, night and day, so that incense went up. You know, children, if I can ask you a quick question again. The adults could keep silent. Where does the queen live? Well done, Jacob, Buckingham Palace in London. How do you know that when she's actually living in there? You know, because there's a standard, well done, Lorraine, standard or a flag flying. When that flag is flying, you know that the Queen is actually in residence. In the same way, when you walked into Jerusalem and you saw this massive temple, which is one of the wonders of the world, when you saw that incense rising and smelt it and saw it visibly, you knew God was resident in the temple. It was a symbolic thing. And if you look in Exodus, it says, burn that incense and I will meet with you here. So follow me now, okay? So these magi come from Iran. They find themselves in Jerusalem. And you think, well, if they know a bit about the prophecy and who God is, they've got a bucket load of incense, which wasn't a cheap commodity. You think, well, they're going to go to the temple and offer it to God. But no, they none of it gets unloaded in Jerusalem. They take it all to a king, all to this baby in Bethlehem. What's he saying there? What's that showing us? Is that God is about to move house. He no longer dwells in temples made with hands. He has come in human flesh, God con carne, God with meat on. Theologians call it the incarnation. God con carne. God has come in human flesh. He's tabernacled amongst us. And this gift is demonstrating that for us. But the reason that he's come is he's come for relationship. Reg had that wonderful word in the beginning of the meeting. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. You and I have been rescued for relationship. We've been rescued for friendship with God. Bob Geldof, who wrote that Christmas classic, Do They Know It's Christmas?, which has raised tens of millions for those who will be physically empty this winter. He describes the restlessness within his heart. He was asked if he felt fulfilled, and he said, not at all. I don't know what that would mean. I'm unfulfilled. Otherwise, why are these big, large holes here? I'm frightened of it. It makes me very depressed. So I just stay active and frantically so, very busy. And that allows me to think I'm not wasting my time. Very honest reply. Large holes here. And dear friend, we can go Christmas after Christmas, and Jesus comes knocking at your heart and said, I'm your shepherd king. I've come to rescue you from your independence, from your own way. Will you open the door to me so that we can have relationship together? The best and ultimate Christmas present you can open this year and today is the life that he offers, receive the forgiveness that he offers, and say yes to a relationship with God through Jesus. Because actually there's a God-shaped hole in every human heart that only he can fill. We can try and fill it with gadgets and trinkets and money and sex and fame and popularity and success, but all of those things are inadequate and unsatisfying and fall short. Jesus is the bread of life. He was born in a feeding trough, quite aptly, and he's the bread of life. Bethlehem means house of bread. That's where he was born. And he was born to feed your life with a life that goes on forever and ever. The life that satisfies, the life that brings security, the life that brings peace. Finally, the third gift that they offered was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the myrrh, I mean, that was quite an offensive gift, myrrh, because myrrh is a narcotic. It's used for dulling pain. It's a bit like morphine. Myrrh is used for embalming. In the Jewish world, myrrh was used for embalming dead bodies. I mean, why would you give that to a baby? It's just been born. It's like me, you know, going to a baby shower and the mum unwraps the card and there's a picture of a coffin on it. You know? And you think, what an inappropriate gift. But actually, for this child, it was the perfect gift. It was so appropriate. Because Jesus wasn't just born and would die. He was born in order to die. And it's through the cross, through his death on the cross, it's the ending that creates a way for us to come into that relationship and to bow the knee before him and receive that gift of eternal life. I don't know where you are this morning in your journey in life, but I do know this, that Jesus is knocking on each one's door. He gives us freedom to choose whether we receive his gift or not, whether we receive him or not, whether we bow the knee to him or not. And I want to challenge you and urge you today to follow the example of those wise men and be wise yourself in seeing that this king, this blameless king, has come, to see the reason behind Christmas, and that he's come for you to bring life in its fullness, so that you in turn can go out with that life in you and that love of God in you and lay down your life and sharing that for other people. That's the purpose and meaning of what Christmas is about. Let's pray. Let's pray. We sang part of one of the songs we sang earlier, "Those who call upon the Lord." Whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. I want to ask you today, will you open that door from the inside? The door handle is on the inside. Jesus doesn't force his way in, but he gives us freedom to open the door, to make room for him. To make room for him. And if you want to do that today, I'm going to ask you just to pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I recognize today that you are a blameless king, the perfect Lord and leader. I thank you that you came to this earth to die for my sins, to pay that price that I should have paid but could not pay. Thank you, Father God, that you love me so much that you sent your Son. I thank you for forgiveness of sins, and I turn to you right now. I invite you into my life, and I thank you for making me your child. In Jesus' name. I worship you, Lord, and I put my faith in you as my Lord and my Savior. And Father God, I just thank you for every person in this room today, myself included. And Lord, as we were challenged earlier, I pray for each one of us right now that we will open up every room in our lives more and more to you. That, Lord, where there's areas that have been tucked away, things that have been tucked away, rooms that have been closed, Lord, we want to bow the knee to you as King this morning and give you access. Access to our pain, access to our insecurity, access to our fears, access to our relationships, access to our finances, access to our priorities and pursuits, values, commitments, and interests. Lord, we recognize that you gave everything. And we want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for the help and empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we just invite you, God, just to, work through us, change us, transform us, renew us, that we would be people living in the fullness of that amazing relationship that you came to bring. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Yeah. We're going to finish there, folks. There is plenty of food downstairs to enjoy.